Oh, what joy will it be when you think I behold sleeping gems at his feet to lay down. He would sleep in my breast in the great field full. Should there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars, any stars in my crown? Can I hear me the sun go with God? When I wake with a breath in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my heart?
Amen, amen. Yeah, if you fall out, you can get right back in. It's not a problem. But you shouldn't have an issue. You know, it's, we do have quite a lot of bandwidth, and I'm just so some people have bad DSL connections, and there's really nothing. I don't care if you get tons of bandwidth, they're still going to keep falling out. So, but yeah, like if you're, and it'll be choppy where you're at sometimes too. So, okay, good. Let me just see. Lower a little bit more. All right, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Oh, good to hear. Yeah, if you got a lot, well, Nicholas, you got massive bandwidth where you're at, so. But some people just have cheap DSL and stuff like that. But anyway. Okay. Bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us on the Sabbath day with the changing of the showbread. Thank you for letting the seeds be watered that have been planted over the years, and let the seeds that we shared this day find fertile soil in the heart. We again lift up all those that are on our prayer list, our sons and daughters, their sons and daughters, and all those that are doing the work. Thank you for forgiving our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain and the faith that moves the mountains, so that we can go forth, as prophecy said, and the signs shall follow your people. Thank you for already letting us see the miracles and all the amazing healings, and it's just seeing your hand move. It's just an amazing sight to see. But thank you for blessing us with an opportunity to share our faith with others as many times as we can. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak today. And again, we pray to the best of our ability in the name of your Son, who is our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I lowered it. Does it sound okay, though? Because I'm going to make a video out of this. What do you mean? Really? Oh, yeah, because the text chat is jumping up and stuff like that. You can slide the check. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. It's choppy? Oh, yeah, because you're on the wireless thing. Okay. All right. But, yeah, if the chat, you know, the text chat is annoying, you just float your mouse over the two blue lines and float to the left. You know, hold it down and float to the left, and you can turn off the text chat if you want and just have the notes in the room, which should be in the room right now. 72. Oh, I think. All right, then, yeah, leave and come back in. All right. That's the only way, because as soon as you turn off, as soon as you switch to 7200, you're going to fall out of the room. All right. All right, so, yeah, Fran's got to fix the SDR Indy thing. So let's give her a moment here. All the stuff will, of course, be edited out of the video. It will be all in next week's sermon as you listen to this, because I just put the whole recording on the server after Sabbath. But, yeah, she has to be on the T1 for her to get a solid connection, even though she is wireless. The T1's a little bit more crisp. So if you don't see the notes, click that link. Thank you, Brother Kevin. All right, but it is locked in now. All right, now Indy's here on the T1. Okay, good. So, anyway, starting right off, When speaking of our generation, Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 and 10 says this, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, would say to the seers, see not, or to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. This is describing most churches today, by the way. The people don't want to know the end is near, and the pastors are all too happy to forego preaching prophecy because being preachers of filthy lucre, they can't understand the prophecy anyway. And so they have a real difficult time trying to explain, and this gives them a way out. Worse yet, this also leads to some of those preachers that think they can preach prophecy, but they do so in a way that gives the people what they want when it comes to smooth things. You know, like a secret rapture. You're not going to have to be here for all that crazy stuff that's going to, oh, you're going to be here. But most people won't recognize all the crazy stuff because they're not Christians. It's going to be a difficult time for all the wicked, of course, especially when the plagues hit, because the plagues would be on them. The Christians, no, they're not going to have anything to deal with that. But anyway, prophecy, I'm just going to go through a few, well, as many as I can get through, and I'm going to try to keep this at 30, 35 minutes. For the sake of the video and that I want to make this into. But prophecy declares that near the end, there will be false prophets and false teachers all around us. For it is written in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through the covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, they're going to get their just deserts. But here, the thing I'd like to mention a little bit more so on here is the fact that the truth that we embrace and the walk that we walk is spoken evil of. In other words, they say we're fanatic legalists, Jesus freaks, that kind of a thing. But just to name a few, when it comes to these false prophets, you have guys like Hal Lindsey or Pat Robertson, Benny Hinn or Carol Camping, Nostradamus, or even all the popes of Rome. They have made statements in writing about certain prophetic events that they said were going to happen, and none of them happened at all. Some of them gave specific dates, like Hal Lindsey and Pat Robertson and Benny Hinn have, and none of it happened. But yet, even though these men are now confirmed false prophets, everybody still follows them. I mean, these men not only prophesy in ways that are false, they preach heresy and even make merchandise of the people, as we saw in verse 3 here that I just mentioned. And that, how that's done? Well, they demand donations in the millions per month so as to live lavishly off the tithe. So the people no longer become congregants or flock or sheep, you know, or Christians for that matter, they become merchandise, products by which they can make money. Prophecy also declares in our day that homosexuality will grow to where it was in Lot's day. For it was written in Romans chapter 1, verses 25 to 27, that these are they who change the truth of God into a lie. I mean, even their own bodies testify against them. Some will actually say they were born homosexual. But if that's possible, then how come they have certain organs? Anyway, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use that into that which is against nature. And now this is New Testament, by the way. This is why there's a movement right now to say Paul is a false apostle or a false prophet, because he specifically states here homosexuality is wrong in the New Testament. And it goes on, it says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verses 28 to 30, he said, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, and we all know who Lot is, he's the one that was living in Sodom and Gomorrah when the Lord destroyed those cities. He pulled them out of the city with his family, and all those homosexuals were killed. Jesus says they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, when Jesus comes back, It's going to be that same way. They're all going to be destroyed. I mean, the seventh plague alone is going to obliterate the planet. I actually met a preacher many years ago who actually went to Sodom. And the city is still there because it's like in a valley, so there's not a lot of wind hitting that area. And some of the walls are still up. But he says you can walk up to these walls and touch it with your finger and gently push, and it's like the walls are made out of ash. Because no wind has come through the area, the walls just don't fall. And he says there's these little, tiny, little sulfur balls all over the place. That's the brimstone that fell out of the sky on fire. And he gave me one. I still have it to this day to show people that stuff happened. In nearly every nation on earth now, we see laws that benefit and actually protect the homosexual lifestyle. We see homosexual marriage being sanctioned all around the world. And that's the Christian's fault, by the way. I did a video all about that. Many Christian churches also embrace the homosexual as Christians in good standing before God, and many churches even have homosexual pastors. Not to mention, of course, the Roman Catholic priests that are mostly homosexual, as the prophet Daniel predicted in Daniel chapter 11, verse 37. He says they will not desire women. Homosexuality is running so rampant in the Vatican that to date, millions of little boys have been raped, and Roman Catholic priests are actually dying of AIDS 11 times greater than any other group on the planet. And I got a page on the website dedicated just to those statistics. Prophecy also states that earthquakes will increase in many places across the globe. For Jesus himself declared in Matthew 24, verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse or many places." Well, from 526 A.D. to 1896 A.D., planet Earth experienced 21 major earthquakes in all of those 1,370 years, right? I'm just giving you that for a basis of foundation of what I'm going to say next. That's an average of about 0.02 earthquakes a year that killed more than 10,000 people. Right? Now, notice this. A few years after the end times began, which we discovered in the study earlier, was 1844, a few years after the end times began, as predicted by the prophet Daniel, we see that from 1906 to 1990, we also saw 21 earthquakes that killed over 10,000 people. Most of them over 50,000 people, and a few over 200,000 people. One in China alone killed 240,000 people, and that happened in 1976. But did you notice? We saw these 21 earthquakes in those years. However, those 21 earthquakes didn't occur over the course of 1,370 years. No, they occurred in just 84 years. That's an average of 0.4 earthquakes per year that have killed more than 10,000 men, women, and children. That's 200 times more earthquakes in 84 years than in all of the recorded 1,370 previous years of quakes. And if you've been following the website, my main page on the website's weekly update regarding the number of earthquakes that happen every week, thanks to Brother Daniel's research efforts that he shares with me every week, you're going to see that the average quakes that we have per week now are what used to be the average earthquakes per century. Just 3 weeks ago, we had 2,300 earthquakes in 1 week. Prophecy also states, many will become lawless and embrace sin as the norm. Jesus stated in Matthew 24, 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold," right? Well, every single commandment has been broken by the majority on the planet in a way that declares it has become the norm to do as they please without fear of retribution from above. I mean, if you take God out of the family unit, then there is no God above when a person becomes an adult. Many worship false gods so as to break commandment number one, for example. Even Christians break this one by embracing a false version of Jesus in their churches, which is also a prophetic event about preaching another Jesus in the last days. Everywhere you look, you see people creating graven images to bow down in direct violation of commandment number two. Some even go so far as to actually worship these false gods and summon the name of the Christian God so as to take his name in vain, which, of course, then breaks commandment number three. As for commandment number four, only a small remnant of the churches on the planet keep the true seventh-day Sabbath like we do. The rest of the world embraces Sunday as the Sabbath, of which there isn't a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation that says the Sabbath was ever changed for the Christian. As a matter of fact, Jesus prophesies in Matthew 24 and tells the people 40 years after he ascends into heaven that they're still going to be keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. As for commandment number five, not only are the majority of the children dishonoring their parents, many actually kill them. And commandment number six declares, "We shall not kill," Yet abortion has literally become legal in most countries, and hatred of your fellow man has caused billions more to commit murder in their hearts by hating them, according to what 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 says. If you hate someone, you've commit murder in your heart. As for commandment number 7, there are actually, I couldn't believe it when I saw this. Commandment number 7, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? There are actually websites now that offer and guarantee discreet ways for you to commit adultery without getting caught. You can now pay for it. When it comes to commandment number 8, the prisons are packed as always, but now most alive can attest to the fact that they have been stolen from, or, you know, because thou shalt not steal, or actually robbed at one time in their life. When it comes to bearing false witness by breaking commandment number 9, almost everyone I know has been the victim of false accusations from the schoolyard, to the neighborhood they live in, or office gossip, or even in the church itself. And finally, commandment number 10 says, thou shalt not covet. Yet this is one that has been broken so often that now it becomes a favored advertising technique of most large corporations. What I'm talking about is, like, how many of us have heard the stuff on the commercials? Keeping up with the Joneses kind of a thing where to get you to buy a new car or the latest iPad upgrade or even a new house, just to make your neighbor envy and then covet after your goods. Yeah, look what I got that you don't have, kind of a thing. They actually sell things like that in a way now to where, you know, to make yourself look above that what your neighbor already has. Our Lord's prophetic word also states that in the end, most will forsake his written law. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 12, that iniquity shall abound in our day. We also know his Holy Spirit inspired words in the book of Psalms 119, verse 53, and Proverbs 28, 4, that says, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. You know, before Constantine demanded God's law be abolished on March 7, 321 A.D. with the first Sunday law, all Christians knew and agreed with the importance of the law. In the Ten Commandments, that is. And no, you don't get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. You get to heaven by embracing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. We keep the Ten Commandments because we are saved. You can't keep them unless you have Christ helping you keep them. In fact, when it comes to the importance of this law, way back then, I believe this is why the Holy Spirit moved Titus to write, you know, Titus chapter 3, verse 9, for that to be penned, where it says that we should avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. I mean, the law was so accepted and understood by the early Christian church as a main fruit of Christianity that those that claimed otherwise were simply considered foolish. Today, most preachers twist scripture to declare that the law was abolished at the cross of Christ by taking Colossians chapter 2 out of context. The law of Moses was abolished at the Christ, or at the cross of Christ. You don't have to go and kill a little lamb anymore for the offering of your sins. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, was offered on that day. That's what was abolished, not the Ten Commandments. I mean, 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, which was years after the cross of Christ, says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Moving on, prophecy also declared long ago that the love of many shall wax cold. As I shared a moment ago, Jesus said in Matthew 24, 12, that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. All one needs to do to see this prophecy fulfilled is to simply look around. We see war, divorce, riots, bullies at school, parents killing their children, children killing their parents, hundreds of thousands of Christians martyred annually, cannibals eating their victims, animal cruelty, crime stats off the chart, and even the natural love of self has disappeared, causing the suicide rate to skyrocket off the charts. As is intimated here, prophecy also states Christian persecution will be the norm for our day. When speaking of our day, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 said, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. At present, we see Muslims killing over 200,000 Christians a year. That means every 2.6 minutes, a Christian dies for their faith, right now. They also torture 175,000 a year. And that's not even counting the Hindus, the Chinese, the North Koreans, or now the Vietnamese just murdered a pastor 2 days ago. They torture and kill them. 6 days a week, I post articles on my main page of the site wherein Christians are being tortured, jailed, threatened, their churches burned, their homes destroyed, livestock slaughtered, children kidnapped, and raped and refused medical care and even killed simply because they're Christians. And that's it. Even in America, laws are being passed now that go directly against Christian morals. Worse yet, quite recently, Christians were jailed for using a Bible to share with a homosexual. In Canada, you get 5 years in jail and a $5,000 fine if a homosexual says you used a Bible to tell them they were in sin. That has been law now for years. Prophecy also warns that animals, birds, insects, and fish will be dying in droves right before the Lord returns. And when speaking of the increase in sin, Hosea chapter 4, verse 3, this is what he says, this prophet Hosea. He says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. On my site, I have a page titled Strange Wildlife Deaths. It's right on the main page. You just click the link. It's right in the middle of the main page. Right, document literally millions of deaths all around the world right now. I update that page every week. If you've never seen it, you'll be literally shocked at how many of God's creatures are dropping dead all over the planet now for the last 3 or 4 years. We're that close now. And as expected, it's the absolute worst when it comes to the United States of America. Each state is like some other countries. We've got 50 states right here in the USA, and the animals, it's just unbelievable. Now, prophecy also declares men will believe bold-faced lies over scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 4 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, our day, that is, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. In other words, they'll believe the lies instead of the truth in our day. Look at the doctrinal stand of the churches today. They embrace all sorts of doctrines found nowhere in Scripture. Catholicism, for example, which I used to teach when I was a Catholic 30 years ago, it actually has, like if you read the St. Joseph's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine, number two? I don't know. Anyway, it's issue number two or something like that. It 86.2% of it can't be found in Scripture, but can be found in pagan theology. But even worse, I mean, look around at the churches that are outside of Rome. Well, slightly. They do everything Rome does except for they don't acknowledge the Pope. Well, until the One World Church began in 2000. But they speak in tongues. I mean, there's nothing wrong with tongues, but the whole church does it. The Bible says no, two or three at the most, and if there are people speaking in tongues, someone has to translate. But they all do it, and none of them speak in real tongues. It's all just gibberish. And some of them actually bark like dogs. Have you seen some of the stuff on the YouTube? Like the Holy Laughter Movement in Toronto, Canada, they're laughing all over the place and rolling around on the ground like they're fish out of water. And they collapse when a preacher comes and puts a hands laid on them and says, this is the Holy Spirit working. That's never, ever, ever, ever seen anywhere in Scripture, ever. That's demonic. It's not the Holy Spirit. They embrace pagan festivals of Easter, tomorrow, actually. It has nothing, by the way, Easter has nothing to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If it did, how come it changes its date every year? Ask a pagan priest and ask a Roman Catholic priest, and they'll tell you the same thing. The date of Easter is based on the first full moon of spring. The following Sunday will be Easter. Why? Pagans worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's why Christmas is on December 25th, the winter solstice. It has to do with the birth of Tammuz. Nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. He wasn't born in winter. The angel actually told the shepherds tending their flocks in the fields that Jesus was born. And Jewish tradition was they always brought the flocks out of the fields in the month of Chesvan, which is about 2 months before December. They would not have been in the fields when those angels came if it happened on December 25th, because it's too dangerous to be out there in those fields in winter with the hailstorms that they always have out there. And then look at Halloween. I've seen churches where they got Halloween decorations all over the place, and that just glorifies death. But anyway, when it gets to the doctrines, you got, just to name a few, pastors are now teaching a 7-year tribulation, which we discussed earlier in the study, a secret rapture, Sunday Sabbath, 1,000 years of peace on earth for the humans, the Trinity. The Trinity is, you know, that's a Roman Catholic doctrine. They all preach that. and even eternal life in hellfire. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It doesn't say you're going to live for all eternity in fire. Some have even gone so far as to try to declare that Jesus isn't God and the Holy Spirit doesn't exist at all. And all the wicked go to heaven with everybody else, and the Sabbath changes every month in accordance with the cycles of the moon, and now Jesus wasn't killed on Friday, he was killed on Wednesday. And I could go on and on and on for quite some time about the doctrines and devils that we see in the churches today, but I don't think I need to do that because most people that are present in this church right now have come out of such churches and you've seen this firsthand. Prophecy also says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection," that's the homosexuals, "truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." This passage has many prophetic statements in it that do in fact lead to perilous times for our society. I don't think I need to go over each item here, as it can be seen by even the scoffer. What Paul is describing to Timothy here is indeed today's world in perfect detail. If any of us still are watching TV, which I hope you're not, or remember what you used to see on TV daily, you can see all these evil traits are played out in just about every sitcom, newscast, movie, and commercial each and every hour of the day now. And then you got the prophecy about the famines, in where it says there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, right? In Matthew 24:7, which we shared earlier. When it comes to famines, according to the WorldHunger.org organization that only for some reason has the numbers for 2010 and back, it seems strange and odd to me, but there are 19 million people going hungry in developed countries, 37 million people going hungry in Near East and North Africa, 53 million more going hungry in Latin America and the Caribbean of all places. And in sub-Saharan Africa, we have a whopping 239 million people starving. Pretty bad, isn't it? But I say the best for last, or the worst for last, better yet. In Asia and the Pacific, we actually see 578 million people starving or severely undernourished as of 2010 statistics, and that's 3 years ago. 925 million people are starving in the world right now, or 3 years ago. It's worse now. I mean, I shudder to think about how large that number is now because of the global economy has worsened to such an extent that people can't even send donations to their charitable organizations to get that food to these people. And could it be this is why WorldHunger.org doesn't post the totals for 2011 or 2012? Could it be the U.S. drought and the other droughts around the world has stressed the resources to feed the hungry and therefore caused the number to grow exponentially? In any event, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Now, when it comes to disease, there are so many different diseases now that the World Health Organization actually created new categories to keep track of them all. But even here, we see a shocking reality that I've never thought possible. According to the World Health Organization, the categories alone, just the categories, have reached 12,420 in number. And that number is insane. But that's prophetic. This is biblical proportions now. In that number, most contain dozens of different types associated with each category. And worse yet, many, and I went through the list and I saw some of them had literally hundreds of different types of strains for each disease for each individual category. And I got that figure from 2007. I couldn't find 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, or 2012. Why are they so behind in so many years? I mean, looks a little bit fishy. I mean, has it gotten so bad that they won't even post their annual findings anymore? I believe that's to be the case. I mean, after all, it's also prophesied in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as it fell upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Not telling the people allows for that peaceful mindset. Now, in another prophecy, we find that a cold religious system wherein they deny the power of God will be prevalent in our day. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5 says, "The religious leaders will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." Now, as students of prophecy, we know by looking back in history, it was apostasy that eventually caused the early church to see no sin in joining with the pagans. Paul, the apostle, does prophesy that in our day, the same apostasy will be the norm in the church once again. He says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, that there shall come a falling away and that the man of sin may be revealed. Anyone with eyes that can see biblical truth, no, apostasy is in the church in a big way. I mean, look around and you're going to see most preachers deny the power of God in every church. Their wicked actions prove they refuse to allow God to exert any influence in their lives whatsoever. They exhibit no restraint of their fleshly passions or their cardinal tendencies. Or they lie. They accuse the brethren. They shun Christians with fruits they cannot attain to. They rob the widows for their tithe, too. And some even gone so far as to remove Bible verses they deem outdated. Just to name a few of more of the popular men of God that have put off an appearance of godliness only to deny the power. You got Benny Hinn, makes over $100 million a year from the sick and suffering each and every year, and no one ever gets healed. One of them, actually, we saw one time where a man died that was associated with Benny Hinn. That Benny Hinn handed him drugs on a camera, and later on, the guy sitting next to him died of a heroin overdose. This is Benny Hinn. Jimmy Swaggart was caught with a prostitute more than once. Peter Popoff was exposed using an earpiece to act as if the Lord was telling him people's private information in the church when his wife was in the back talking in a mic, reading the cards that they filled out. Robert Tilton was caught trashing thousands of prayer requests so he can get to the money that they sent for donations. Ted Haggard, this just happened a few months ago. He recently admitted to visiting male prostitutes who supplied him with methamphetamines. And Todd Bentley, the guy that's covered in tattoos, he claims tens of thousands of people were healed, yet not a single one has ever been verified. He recently stepped down in shame. Again, these are just mainstream examples. The news is literally flooded each week with local pastors committing all sorts of heinous crimes. Worse yet, thanks to their ungodly actions, the faith of many has grown so weak that, as another prophecy predicts, they are even denying the flood of Noah. I mean, the prophecy says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, "For this they will willingly be ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." I mean, besides the well-documented massive fossil evidence to prove this fact is to almost every soul on earth, there are still those that flatly ignore all this. If you place the words Noah's flood myth in any search engine online, you're going to find over 3 million websites talking about the flood in a negative way or a positive manner. When I was called to start Presence of God Ministry years ago, my first track was all about all the documented info and pictures of Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat right now. Thing is, if you try to get to that ark today, Muslims will kill you when you approach that mountain. This is also the case with Mount Sinai, where Moses spoke with the Lord and the Ten Commandments were etched in stone. The top of the mountain is still black from when the Lord descended on it and burned it. There are YouTube videos right now showing that the mountain is surrounded in barbed wire and guard towers. They're doing all they can to hide the biblical facts from the people. The prophecy also goes on to say that in the last days, seducing spirits will cause many to embrace the occult. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And Revelation 16, verse 14 says, "For there are spirits of devils working miracles." Not only have we seen the occult influencing the church, and especially Roman Catholicism, which is, you know, numerous pagan doctrines, we see holidays like Halloween, Christmas, and even Easter causing billions to bow to Baal and the occult as if it's perfectly okay to do so in the eyes of God. But none of this compares to the Vatican's influence on all the religions of the world over when it comes to Harry Potter. In 2010, they actually endorsed Harry Potter and stated that he was a Christ-like figure. But for those that think that this is just some rogue Catholic institution rebelling against the Vatican like some have done in the past, the Vatican publication of Osservatore Romano stated that the mixture of supernatural suspense and romanticism sets the right balance, making the adventures of the protagonists more credible. The write-up goes on to call this latest entry the best in the series. So the Vatican has approved it. Prophecy also said the occult will increase near the end, and we see here that the prophesied man of sin in Rome has placed a seal of approval upon the most evil movie known to man so as to cultivate occult activity all across the world. Worse yet, all this appeals to children, who, by the way, will be adults in positions of power in as little as 10 years from the date of their statement, which, by the way, was 3 years ago. Now, the next prophecy deals with how, right before Jesus gets here, there will be a new world order wherein all the nations of the world will form into 10 political regions or kingdoms that are overseen by the Pope. Revelation 17:12 says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings." So right there, the angel's telling John what the prophecy means right off the bat. The horns are the kings. And which have and it goes on to say, which have received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Notice, the following document actually uses the same terminology as Revelation. The headline reads, "Adaptive mold or adaptive model of the global world system." And it's called, but the article goes on to say, "The Club of Rome had its beginnings in April of 1968 when the leaders from 10 different countries gathered in Rome. The organization claims to have the solutions for world peace and prosperity. The Club of Rome has been charged with the task of overseeing the regionalization and unification of the entire world. The club's findings and recommendations are published from time to time in special, highly confidential reports, which are sent to the power elite to be implemented. On September 17, 1973, the club released one such report entitled Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. The document reveals that the club has divided the world into 10 political economic regions, which it referred to as kingdoms, just as the prophecy predicted. Those 10 kingdoms have already been identified quite recently, and if you would like a breakdown of these 10 kingdoms, see my New World Order page in the prophecy section of the website. Now, the next prophecy has to do with the Mark of the Beast, and if you're an avid student of prophecy, you know that the Vatican's already admitted in writing that Sunday Sabbath is their mark, and we already know that the Vatican is the beast. Now, this first quote is from H.F. Thomas, Chancellor of Cardinal Gibbons. He said, "Of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change of Saturday Sabbath to Sunday Sabbath was her act, and the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical authority in religious things." And the other quote is from Catholic Record of London, Ontario, September 1st, 1923, and it says, "Sunday is our mark of authority. The Church is above the Bible, and this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact." And the reason they say they're above the Bible is because all the Protestants who claim to embrace only the Bible are going to church on Sunday. But yet there is no Bible verse that says they should do that. And so they say this proves we're above the Bible because we wrote the Sunday Sabbath. God didn't. But yet everybody's following our lead, just as the other prophecy said they were. Would. The Bible says all the world will wander after the beast. I have literally hundreds of articles on the Sunday laws, our coming page on the website, proven beyond all doubt that they are in fact doing exactly as prophecy said they would when it comes to seeking Sunday laws. Not only have all Sunday-keeping churches given power to lobby law on March 7, 2006 by George W. Bush, the global Sunday Alliance organizations all around the world are demanding Sunday laws right now. They actually started doing this back in 1913, and then Pope John Paul II stated that civil legislation should be brought forth to make us keep Sunday holy. He said it on July 7, 1998. Now, there's no way that I could share all the facts surrounding the fulfilled prophecy in just a few minutes that I have left to finish out this sermon. The truth is, I have preached and taught on this subject many times for many years, and that being the case, I would implore you, please, all listening, if you've never seen the Mark of the Beast page on my site or the Mark of the Beast video, which, by the way, Brother Craig just updated with high-definition graphics, you need to check it out. They are doing exactly as the prophecy said they would, right down to the letter, and there's no way they can hide this part, because everybody that studies prophecy knows what the beast's mark is. They stated it in writing, as well as the scriptures have already outlined it before they even stated it. But it's nice to have their statements, too. Anyway, the last prophecy I want to share is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Especially in America, you can see this coming to fruition, but only if you have a desire to research what's really happening. What I mean is, the media in this country refuses to report on certain prophetic events so as to keep the people in a complacent frame of mind. Take the prophecy I mentioned earlier from Hosea regarding all the dead animals or the dead birds and insects and fish. Unless the death occurs in your neighborhood, where one time, you know, like you wake up in the morning, you can smell the stench, it's never going to be on the news. It's only going to be on your local news if you can wake up and smell it. It doesn't go national. This is why I used to have such a hard time trying to find articles to post online. But praise the Lord, when I made that request on the website, I got inundated with emails of people sending me their articles about stuff that's happening in their neck of the woods. And I got to tell you, I can only put so many on the site at a time. I mean, it's because I'm so busy. So I only put like maybe five or six or seven each week. I'm hundreds of articles behind, literally, about all the animals and bugs and insects, things dying. Or how about taking the Ring of Fire, for example? It's actually showing signs it has awakened. And it's not just, you know, insignificant little signs either. For those of you that are unaware of what the Ring of Fire is, it's a collection of volcanoes that are positioned in various places all around the world. All these volcanoes are active right now, and the media refuses to report on this. I mean, a story this huge would have never slipped by the media 30 years ago. Today, they have to hide it. Some of these volcanoes have erupted over 800 times since July alone. We've heard about a few of them when they stopped air traffic because the plumes have gotten so huge that the airplanes can't even go anywhere near it because they need oxygen to fly. You can't fly through a plume of ash because it's not a cloud. It's just going to choke out the engines and that plane's going to do a nosedive. But I am eventually going to put a page on my site called Nearer the End. It's going to be linked out from the People Get Ready book I wrote. But it's to show you a list of all these volcanoes, and especially the ones that are going 800 times. One of them, like, since July alone, 800 eruptions just since July for decades. All of us have seen these. I mean, all this that I've covered here, I mean, even if you just caught it offhand, I mean, you've seen the earthquakes, you've seen the famines, the pestilence, the crimes, the wars, the homosexuality, the signs in the heavens. I mean, everything from Hale-Bopp to this meteor that we're going to be seeing here in the next couple of months that's going to be as bright as full moon. I mean, knowledge is increasing. Fear in the hearts of man is boiling over. Strange weather is going crazy. I just put an article on the site the other day about how they're saying that the increase in tornadoes, the whopper hurricanes, and the more violent storms are now going to be the norm. The occult is spreading like wildfire. Scoffers are everywhere you look. I mean, atheists are actually putting billboards on the side of buses now. Yet, the Pope in Rome released this article not too long ago. Headline, Pope assures Italians the end is not yet nigh. And it says, to the dismay of Seventh-day Adventists, but to the relief of everyone else, the Pope has declared that the world is not about to end. That's from the Times. I got the link if you want it. It'll be on the Nearer to the End page. They mentioned the SDA Church here, by the way, because in its infancy, it was the ninth hour movement of what Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 20. And they were called of God to warn the people because they were the first ones to start understanding prophecy. They also used the SDA name here, knowing that it has already been infiltrated by the Jesuits, which in turn do preach as the Pope commands. And go to sdaapostasy.org to see all the proof there. That way, if the people want to learn about prophecy, they're naturally going to go to the SDA Church because Time Magazine uplifted them as teachers of prophecy. The problem is the SDA Church is no longer trusted to do this work. Jesus prophesied they would fail to finish the work in Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7, and he later confirmed this in Revelation 12:17, that we, the remnant of her seed, will complete the task that angers the devil. That being the case, look around, and you're going to see that with the exception of a small remnant churches, all churches today declare peace and safety by either refusing to preach prophecy and warn the people, or they preach prophetic fables contrived by the Vatican prelates that are designed to keep the people in a state of mind that fosters peace and safety. In any event, our Lord said this was going to happen right before he returns. And now we see that everything he said is in fact happening exactly as he proclaimed. And I'm not talking about the prophecies that I outlined in the beginning of my book, the People Get, People Get Ready book, because there was a bunch of prophecies that I put at the top of the book in regards to certain prophecies that tell us the end is near. But then the last pile of prophecies are talking about when the prophecies are more or less relaying a message that the time is a lot closer than we thought. Well, this next set of prophecies that I'm going to be putting on the site are telling us it's happening now. None of this stuff happened in the past, so people can't say, oh, everything, history repeats itself. None of this stuff has happened in the past, none of it. But for the sake of time, I can't go into all those prophecies that I wanted to share. But suffice it to say, when I get that new page titled Nearer to the End online, I'm going to post additional info that I have on the prophesied strange signs in the heavens, or the cloud that's coming from the Orion Nebula, or the fact that the USA is becoming a socialistic nation, the fear that is welling up in the hearts of men, or the fact that people stop reading their Bibles, or homosexual marriage, or big pharma, or Jerusalem is mostly controlled by the Vatican now, like Daniel predicted in Daniel 11:45 or 44, or 45. and how there's more crime in the cities, as Ezekiel predicted, and the explosion in travel, as Daniel predicted, or the facts about how most are, even Christians, are becoming materialistic, and how Christians would be hated. I got a page dedicated just to that, about hating the Christian. And the gospel would be preached in every nation right before Jesus gets here. And by the way, as of March 26th, which was 4 days ago, remnantofgod.org, this website, has just been notified that it is now frequented by every nation on earth. We were working our way up there, and we are now in 192 nations. And so what this means is, and we're not the only ones preaching this truth, but the truth, Jesus said, would go into every nation before he gets here. That day has come. I hope and pray you are blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. Finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with your scriptures. You could have very easily have written the Bible without putting in all these prophecies, but you love us enough to tell us the truth in advance so that we'll be ready for when this day comes. We wouldn't be fearful. We wouldn't be worried that you're not in control, that things are going crazy and we don't know what to do next. Everything that we see tells us you're coming home, or you're coming here to take us home. And we're going to do all we can to expedite your arrival, as the prophecy says we can do. So bless us in our work. Bless the workers. Keep the hedge of angels around them and the work and those that help us do this work. Make it that blessing that is in the truth and how it moves and cuts the hearts of so many. And thank you for letting this loud cry go all around the world as you prophesied it will. And thank you for letting the truth as we share on the sites to actually be active now in every nation on earth. We thank you for all these things and for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list and blessing this Sabbath day in a special way. And we pray to the best of our ability in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.